Today's first reading comes from 1 Peter 3, 13 to 20. That's the first letter of Peter, chapter 3, verses 13 to 20, which you can find on page 234 in the New Testament in the Pew Bible or on the screen in front of you. Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection took place so that we could reestablish our relationship with God. Noah was someone who was willing to obey God, and as a result, humanity was saved. In this first letter of Peter, we're going to hear about how important it is to obey God. Let's read. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting of the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. Here ends the first scripture reading.
Well, there is something exciting about baptism that catches us all a little bit off guard and gives us a sense that something new is happening. When a baby is baptized, we look forward to strengthening the parents as they raise their child up in the Christian faith. When we baptize adults, we celebrate their devotion to Jesus Christ, or even as we rededicate them to Christ. And any time that baptism comes about in the church service, I look forward to it because it does remind me of beginning all over again, of starting over, of new beginnings. And I think of this world in which we live and the need that we have for new beginnings in so many different ways. Now, we have an advantage, though, as Christians. We have an advantage because we should be looking at the world through the eyes of history, because we know that God is in control. And we know that whatever happens, our responsibility, first and foremost, is strictly just to obey God and know that things are going to work out when we do that. And I stand here saying that today on this Father's Day, a day that we celebrate and give thanks for those men who have raised children or men who have been mentors of children in their lives. I say this on a day when in the second service we're going to baptize two and rededicate one to the living Jesus Christ. I also say this on a day that we mourn the death of Christians in a church in the United States as they were praying, their heads bowed as they obeyed the word of God. We find ourselves in times where violence seems to rule our society and our culture. In Scripture, we find this theme of the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I feel like we're almost repeating that as well in the life and in the world in which we live today. The more things change, the more they stay the same. We go through these cycles of obedience where we're doing well and we're obeying, and then the next thing we know, there's a tragic disobedience and we need to start all over again. That's not dissimilar to what we find in Scripture. If you read the book of Judges, you see that phrase repeated over and over again. And again, they did what was evil in the sight of God. And so again, God had to raise someone up, raise a judge up who would obey him so then he could continue to work his way in the world around us. So this morning, what we're going to be reading is the story of Noah, and we're going to be in Noah for a few weeks because a lot happens in the story of Noah. And we're going to introduce ourselves to Noah for the first time today, and we're going to be seeing especially what's happening in the world around him as he obeys the word of God and as he goes through his life and follows that which God wants him to do. And what I hope we learn is if we are able to be obedient to God and open ourselves to God's great work in our lives, then God is able to make changes in this world through us, but especially as a result of our obedience. If we're disobedient to the Lord, in some ways, I don't want to say God's limited, but he limits himself to working out his means here on earth through us. So our obedience is crucial to the kingdom of God coming. Let's go ahead and read in Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 through 22, not 12, through 22. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. Remember, I chose the scripture many, many moons ago. But let's read that one again. Verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And then God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And now I'm going to destroy them along with the earth. So Noah, make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you're to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its width, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above. And put the door of the ark in its side and make it with lower, second, and third decks. Now for my part, I'm going to bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every kind shall come into you to keep them alive. Also, take with you every kind of food that is eaten and stored up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this and did all that God commanded him. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts will be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
So, you're really him, aren't you?
You want more proof? I haven't done the pillar of salt thing in a while.
That's all right. I believe you. I don't understand why you chose me.
You want to change the world, son. So do I.
What? Why an ark? I mean, that's like flood territory. You wouldn't do that again. You wouldn't do that. Would you do that?
Let's just say that whatever I do because I love you.
Well, then you have to understand that this whole building an ark thing is really not part of my plans here. I need to settle into my house. I need to make a good impression at work. What?
Your plans.
What are you talking? We're talking about an ark, right? I mean, an ark? An ark is huge. I don't even know where I would begin.
Well, I hear that a lot. People want to change the world, don't know how to begin. You want to know how to change the world, son? One act of random kindness at a time.
build the ark.
I'll tell you what. You build it, I'll fill it.
And if anybody asks, tell them flood's coming. Oh, and you might need this.
Okay, so what do? I grab the wood and then... Oh, okay. You know, that's just cruel. Do you see him? I don't see him.
Building an ark the old-fashioned way. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He lives in all things and has over 6,700,000,000 children.
Some years back, a powerful movie came out. Not Evan Almighty, a different powerful movie. This wasn't a powerful one. It's a good movie, actually. I encourage you to watch it. It was called Schindler's List. Don't know if any of you have seen it. Did you know the original title? It came from a book. The original title of the book was Schindler's Ark. And the reason why, and if you haven't seen the movie, I'd give you a real short synopsis of it. It's about a man, a businessman during World War II, a Gentile, who hired Jews to work in his factories so that he could then save them from extermination. He saved thousands of Jews, and to this day, the Jewish people call him a righteous Gentile. The reason why the word ark was part of the original title was because of all the death and the destruction that was taking place outside and around the factory in Nazi Germany. While inside, those who were present were saved and kept safe from the massacre. In the midst of confusion and chaos, that factory served as a place of refuge. That factory served as an ark. Real similar to the way the ark served in the day of Noah, where it protected those inside. We just heard from Scripture in Genesis 6, the first part of the Noah story, where God tells Noah, "This is what I want you to do." And this is before any rain. This is just a command that God gives him. Now keep in mind, what was the one word that we heard repeated over and over again in Genesis chapter 1? Remember, God made things and then he said what? It's good, right? He says it's good. Flash forward to 6 chapters later, where we find ourselves now, in chapter 6 of Genesis, and 7 times repeated over and over again in just the scripture that we read, what we read is not that God's creation is good, but rather we read about it being wicked and evil and corrupt and violent. My, how things have changed, at least from the first chapter, where everything was perfect. Everything was exactly the way that God wanted it to be. Now, you know, just a few centuries later, things have truly, truly changed. Something has to be done. Because this was a direct result, we read, of one thing. Only one thing took place, and that was disobedience. The disobedience that we read about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it continues and carries forward until we find ourselves now in chapter 6, where disobedience is rampant. And God sadly watches as his creation begins this downward spiral and spins out of control. Now, I'm an optimist in pretty much every situation possible. I believe that God's transcendent power is able to intervene in whatever situations we find ourselves in life. And I believe that it is going to happen. That's my outlook. But a shooting in a church, it sends me a little bit in a place where I wonder if the earth was ever as violent as we find ourselves today. That was God's main hang-up, wasn't it, in chapter 6? A couple times it mentions, and the people were violent. It was a very, very specific attribute that God could not stand. That God did not want to be a part of his creation. I find it interesting that that's lifted up. I don't know if you noticed when we read it in chapter 6, that sense of violence is so contrary to what God wants of his sons and his daughters. Can you imagine today God going out across the world and searching for someone like Noah, searching for someone who was righteous? He searched everywhere to find, hopefully, at least maybe a pocket of righteous family. Strasbourg, right? Wouldn't that be a nice place to find a pocket of righteous families? He searched everywhere, hopefully, to find a remnant. But instead, in Genesis, all he finds is one person. And it wasn't that Noah was more righteous than others, because if he was more righteous than others, that really wasn't saying much, was it? But rather, he was the only one who was righteous, and he found favor in the sight of God. Now, let's talk about us. Every now and then, we make an inspired decision. Every now and then we are on the right track and we are righteous in the decisions or the actions that we make. Every now and then, Noah was righteous for nearly 1,000 years. That's longer than any of us could be righteous, right? We see that it's because of his righteousness. And this is the key part, I think, to this entire scripture. It's because of his righteousness that God chose him, and because of his obedience to God, that God was able to work in the world and eventually save it from absolute and complete annihilation. There are many similarities, I think, to the world in which we live today and in the 6th chapter of Genesis. We already talked about the violence. But who of us would be able to match Noah's righteousness? Who of us could ever be chosen? Especially in light of the scripture in Romans that tells us that no one is just before God, because we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. In our scripture, God was able to save humankind because of the righteousness of one person. I don't think we ever see our lives as kind of a gateway to God's opportunities. That our righteousness could in any way increase the ability for God to work in the world around us. We see ourselves maybe as co-laborers. We see ourselves maybe as people who ought to do the right thing. But if we ever imagine that what we do allows God to use our work for his glory, that might give us a different perspective. That might even raise the stakes to the point where we see Noah and we see what he did was able to allow God to do what he does. Noah's obedience allows God to work his ultimate salvation. You know, whenever my mom comes to visit, the girls love to hear her tell stories. She grew up as a missionary kid in the Congo. And they love to hear those stories about her pet alligator. She didn't really have a pet crocodile. One of my kids thinks she did, but she didn't. But their favorite stories are when she tells about when their dad was bad and had to be punished. They howl. They howl when she tells stories of when I didn't always do exactly what I was supposed to be doing. Isn't there something in all of us that takes a little bit of relief in knowing that no one is righteous, not even Dad, or especially Dad? And I think many times people see this flood that we are going to be reading about in the next couple of weeks as a vengeful and angry act by a God who borders upon being a tyrant. I've seen it different. If we consider God to be our Father, especially on this Father's Day as we lift him up, then the flood is no more than an act of a concerned parent. Is God not more saddened than he is angry? Of course he is. the destruction that we're going to be reading about, it's not rage, but rather you need to think of the rain that fell those 40 days and those 40 nights to be God's tears of grief over the state and the condition of his creation. And this is especially proven as he chooses and picks Noah to begin anew. God in the flood actually saved the earth by starting all over again. And this salvation through Noah was a new beginning that could take place only because of Noah's obedience. In 1 Peter, we read about Noah almost lifted up as a prototype of Christ. No, he's not the Savior, of course. But it's an example that through one person, God was able to act to affect all of humanity. As Morgan Freeman said, I don't know if you caught that line, let's just say that whatever I do because I love you. Even the flood. And that should sound somewhat familiar as we look at our first Peter scripture. And we read Peter who tells us that was similar to what our Savior Jesus Christ did. Jesus came to earth when there was no other choice other than God himself taking the form of a man to save humanity from the end result toward which it was going. He did it with Noah because things were out of control. He did it in the first century with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because things were out of control. You know, we believe Jesus is coming back. We do. And I don't know if things can get any more out of control than they are now. I'm an optimist, remember? But what happened over this past week, it shocks me to realize where we are. The more things change, the more they stay the same. We are not people who are willing to obey God. We are not. And 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us that it is God's desire that every single person come to know and love him, even obey him. So much so that he goes into hell and preaches to those who would not obey, to give them an opportunity, to give them a chance to obey. Folks, we are in a place where we need a new beginning, and I'm excited for the baptism that we're going to be able to, as a church, to offer to those who claim Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I'm also excited because it provides all of us with a chance to see that this is an opportunity for a new beginning for all of us. A new beginning where we're not afraid to obey God because maybe it would hurt our reputation. A new beginning where obedience is considered wise and not weak. A new beginning where we can see the path of obedience will lead us as opposed to just looking at our own concerns and reacting to situations that give us no long-term vision for ourselves or for this church. It's a new beginning. And we are called to be catalysts of this new beginning. And the only way that we can actually be catalysts of this new beginning is if we obey God. He can work in spite of us, but boy, does God want to work with us. And the only way he can do that is if we obey him. We can only be so if Jesus Christ is a part of our life. So how did Noah know what God wanted? God spoke to him directly, right? How many of you have had the detail that Noah had by God speaking to? Don't raise your hands. Did you notice those details? Noah, this is exactly what I want you to do. Whose life would be easier if God said, this is exactly what I want you to do, right? Take out all the guessing work out of it. Lord, just tell me what you want. That's our prayer more often than not, isn't it? How do I know how to obey you, Lord, if I haven't heard you tell me how many cubits high I need to build this thing? But the only way that Noah was receptive and open to God's voice was that he had set the groundwork long before the rain started to fall. This is how we hear God's command, is by listening well before things start to get shaken up in our lives. Don't wait for the rain to start falling to begin listening to God. Begin now by reading his word and by praying. So many of us are what we call crisis Christians, right? Don't we find ourselves in that place sometimes? Only in a crisis do we all of a sudden discover our spirituality. Only in a crisis do we turn to God. Start now. Some of us may be in that crisis mode now. That's okay. Noah was ready for God long before God spoke to him. We need to begin obeying God now so that we will be ready when God calls us to a specific task. And I do believe that God will speak to us very succinctly, very directly, and very specifically as well. Folks, we can be and we need to be a part of a new beginning, but only once we realize that God loves us so much in Jesus Christ that when Christ came, the difference was he didn't come just to save one family. He came to save all of humanity, all of God's creation. But our obedience is required. If we're going to love God and present our lives before him as clay to be molded, as lives to be used, so that his kingdom and his glory will be proclaimed through us and by us. Don't hesitate ever to obey God. Amen. Loving God, we do come before you now today, and we find ourselves in the midst of a world that seems very, very similar to what we read in our Genesis scripture. A world where violence seems to overtake us. And God, we feel protected here, and yet even here, not so long ago, we saw violence take the lives of innocent young girls. Lord, we find ourselves in a world that is not necessarily looking for answers. But God, don't let us be disheartened. Instill within us the ability to see how you call us to live our lives, and that is by obeying you. If we obey you, Lord, you will work through us. So help our goal, our vision as a church, as individuals, as fathers, as men who love you, help our goal be primarily to obey you. And then we're just going to trust that you're going to work through us from then on. We pray this now in Jesus' loving name.